I'm not a rough man, either. And Brother Dale hadn't either.
I assure you.
Me.
And Brother Roger hadn't either. We're not. We'd never heard him in person, and that's why Brother Dale and I went that night. We wanted to hear him. And I can't remember exactly what the message was. I know it was a salvation message, but about 45 minutes, he tore down every preacher that wasn't affiliated with him and every school that wasn't affiliated with his school. But when he got into the Word, he was pretty sound on the message that he brought that night. But anyway, I'm glad to be in God's house. Amen? Amen. I don't know who left the door open. I've been watching the door. But somebody opened that door, and they was being used of the devil.
Yeah.
Because that door right there, the food smell's going to be coming up here in just a minute. And I'm already a little hungry, I assure you that. If you're diabetic, you're hungry tonight, aren't you? How many of you diabetic out there? I found out I had diabetes a little over a year ago, and I stay hungry all the time now. So when I smell food, I want to eat, okay? But anyway, let's take our Bibles, turn to the book of James tonight. Book of James, chapter number 5. I want to appreciate Brother Tim's message that he brought, and then Brother John. And I know tonight you believe the Word of God is inexhaustible. And, you know, it'll never run out. There's always enough material to preach. But I'm going to give you something right along the line that Brother John preached about, because I believe prayer is essential. Amen? I believe it's essential. If you were to rate your prayer life tonight on a scale from 1 to 10, where would it fall? Just think about that just for a moment. If you rated your prayer life tonight, you know, a lot of people think that prayer is old-fashioned. I'm an old-fashioned preacher. I believe in prayer. I still believe in Wednesday night, Thursday night, Tuesday night, whichever one you want to have it. But I still believe in midweek prayer meetings. And we have that Lighthouse Baptist Church every week. And we pray. We take prayer requests and we pray. That's the focus of our midweek service, is to get together and to pray. And to pray. I remember when this meeting right here, and like Brother Roger said, I've been coming to this meeting a long time. Me and my wife will be married 45 years in August, and she and I came here before we got married with her dad. And, you know, mission conferences, we were out here with old Dr. J.C. Keller that had EMI Mission Board. He used to do the mission conferences out here, and we came out there for that. And then ever since Brother Roger's been here, I've been here. And back when Brother Rogers was talking about the 3-day meetings when he first started having this meeting, and I even came out here because I used to kick the meeting off. I was the first preacher every year that preached every year, and I came out here one day early, 1 year, came walking in and nobody was here, and I thought, good gracious alive! I said, well, you know. I went downstairs and some of the ladies was down there cleaning the church. I said, where's everybody at? And they said, I guess they're at home. I said, we're not having church today. They said, it starts tomorrow. So, okay. So I went home and came back the next day. But anyway, I was a young man too back then, so I couldn't blame that on my memory. James chapter 5. Let's stand together as we honor God's Word and the reading of it tonight. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? What does the Bible say? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. By the way, that's a practice that I believe in. I believe in. Realize this, that there's no healing in these hands at all. There's no healing in my voice at all or in my breath at all. The healing comes from God, but I believe that is a biblical practice that we ought to practice. I believe God would honor that because He honors prayer. Amen? God honors prayer. He says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if any have committed sin, they shall be forgiven them. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Man, wouldn't you like to be able to pray like that? Wouldn't you like to be able to pray and on those rainy days and just shut up the windows of heaven when you needed to be doing something else? Wouldn't that be marvelous? You know, the Bible said that that if we had faith as of a grain of mustard seed, we could say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea, and it would be done. And the Bible says, the Lord says, and nothing shall be impossible to us. But that kind of faith cometh about by what? Prayer and what? Fasting. That's two lost arts that we've got in the church today, is praying and fasting. Amen. Praying and fasting. Brother John read the scripture there in the book of Matthew chapter 6. If there's any praying and fasting going on today, it's for show. For show. We need to be sincere when we pray. Verse number 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word today. Thank you, Lord, for the messages that have spoken to our hearts. Thank you for the wonderful singing, the sweet time of fellowship that we're having tonight. Lord, as this service continues, we pray that it would bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, that it would be used to touch our hearts tonight. Lord, if there's one here that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, oh, how we pray tonight that that one would see themselves lost and undone on their way to hell. Lord, that they'd accept you as their personal Savior. If there's a Christian tonight that has erred, Lord, from the truth, we pray that you'd draw them back into yourself tonight. Lord, send revival to this church. Send revival to these people. Send revival to my life, I pray. Lord, use us for your glory. For anything that's done and all that's done, we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Some of you may have been asked this question before, and some people will look at you kind of silly-like or stupid-like when you ask this question. But I ask you this evening, have you talked to God today? Have you talked to God today? Do you realize that Jesus' death on the cross and the shedding of His blood, His glorious resurrection, do you realize that it opened up the throne room of God to you and me to be able to go into God's presence? The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that He broke down that middle wall of partition and gave us access to God. Do you realize today that you and I can come boldly unto the throne of grace? You know what that means? That means that we go into the Holy of Holies, where God dwells, where God is, and we have access to God by faith through the death of Jesus Christ and His glorious resurrection. We ought to talk to God every day. It's been said that every Christian ought to have three talks every day. Number one, they ought to talk to God in prayer. They ought to let God talk to them through His Word. And then we as Christians ought to talk to somebody else about God. But it begins with prayer and allowing God to speak to us and we speaking to God. One thing that motivated this message was many years ago, there was a man that I knew that he happened to be an EMT on an ambulance. And I remember him telling the story about going out on a call one night where terrible automobile accident. And he said he got out there on the site, and he said there were bodies laying everywhere, and you know, just a lot of carnage, a lot of bad things. He said there was one man that was laying over kind of off by himself, and some of them were working with him, and he was screaming and he was hollering, and this gentleman went over there to him, and he said, I need somebody that can get in touch with God. Can you get in touch with God? And he was hollering at another one, and he said, can you get in touch with God? I need somebody that can get in touch with God for me. One of my questions tonight is, can you get in touch with God? Amen. Can you get in touch with God? That's what praying is all about. You realize that God answers prayer? I think about great men in the Bible. Abraham prayed. He interceded on the behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. You say, well, they should have got what they deserved. I'm glad America hadn't gotten what it's deserved, aren't you? I still believe that it's the prayers of the saints of God that keeps God's hands on the United States of America. Now, President Trump's motto is, make America great again. You know how we can make America great again? The Bible tells us how. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Amen. That's where it's going to begin, and it's going to begin by God's people getting right with God and pray. Amen. That's where we need to go. But Abraham prayed for Sodom. God, peradventure, there be 50 found righteous, will you spare it? God said he would. God's a reasonable God, isn't he? Well, what about 45, God? God said, if there's 45, I'll spare the city. What about 40? 40, yes. 30, 20, all the way down to 10. And God said, if there be 10 righteous found, I will spare the city. God answered Abraham's prayer, but of course we know that there were not 10 found righteous. Jacob prayed for a favorable reception with his brother Esau, and God granted it. Moses prayed for the forgiveness of God's people, and God granted it. Gideon prayed for God to overthrow the Midianites, and God heard that prayer. Elijah prayed, and God heard and answered by fire in the book of 1 Kings chapter number 18. Joshua prayed, and Achan's sin was discovered. Hannah prayed, and Samuel was born. Hezekiah prayed, and 185 Assyrians died. Daniel prayed, and the lion's mouth was muzzled. The apostles prayed, and the Holy Spirit came down. The church prayed, and Peter was released from prison. We get into more modern times. Martin Luther prayed, and the Reformation was the result. John Knox prayed, and Scotland trembled at his prayers. David Brainerd prayed, and the Indians were subdued. John and Charles Wesley prayed, and millions were moved Godward. George Whitefield prayed, and thousands were converted. Charles Finney prayed, and mighty revivals were the results of it. J. Hudson Taylor prayed, and the China Inland Mission was born. George Mueller prayed, and more than $7 million were sent to feed thousands of orphanages. Annie Cook prayed, and Dwight L. Moody was anointed with the power of God. Daisy Hayes prayed. Anybody of you know Daisy Hayes? You ever heard that name? She was the one that led Dr. Lee Robertson to the Lord. Yes, sir, Ray. She prayed. And look what happened. How many temple men do we have in here today? Raise your hand if you... There we go. You are what you are today a lot because of him and because of the woman that was praying for that boy to get saved. See what prayer can do? In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says of the church there, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They spake the word of God with boldness. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what we need today, is we need a shakening.
Amen.
We need a move. A movement of God. It was Dwight L. Moody that said this. He said, every great move of God can be traced to a kneeling figure, to somebody that was praying. You think about that tonight. Think about the importance of prayer. How to improve our prayer lives. That ought to be the desire of every believer in here tonight, is to have more power in prayer. More power in prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm not a man that just enjoys going through the motions. I don't like playing the game. I like to be real. I like to be genuine. And I like to see God at work. The title of my message is How to Get More Out of Your Prayer. You know, we're living in a day, in an age, when the philosophy of man is to get more for less. Right? Today in the workforce, man, what do they want? They want to work less but get paid more. You go to the grocery store, you want more groceries for less money. How many have you bought any eggs lately? I went to Publix last week, and they did not have one carton of eggs in their refrigerated areas there. Man wants more results for less effort. You know, that's even so for Christians. You know, we love to have people get saved. We love to have people visit our church, but we don't want to put forth the effort to go out there and knock on doors and pass out gospel tracts and spend time praying for these people that need to be in God's house. But this more for less is not a Bible way. It's not God's way. And though even though the Lord here is dealing with the subject of giving and of finances and all of that, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6, when he says there, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The more you put into something, the more you are going to get out of it. Some may be dealing with marital trouble tonight. You may have trouble with a spouse tonight. Do you realize the more you put into your marriage, the more you're going to get out of it, the better it's going to be? The harder you work at it, and I'm going to tell you, anybody that's been married for any length of time is going to tell you, marriage, it takes work. Takes work, and by the way, it takes a lot of praying. A lot of praying. Some may be dealing with difficult children. You realize the more you put into your child, the more time that you spend with them, the more time you spend praying with them, the more time you spend reading God's Word, the more time you spend encouraging that child, the more we're going to get out of them. Think about ministry. We've got our preachers in here tonight. The philosophy is now, hey, we just don't want to do any work. We want to preach, but we don't want to work. Pastoring, preaching is work. Studying God's Word, preparing sermons is work. Praying is work. Got to be willing to put some time in it. Giving, Bible study, prayer, our prayer life. The reason we don't get more out of our prayer lives is because we don't put much into it.
Right.
You say, well, preacher, I pray for all my meals. Good. I'm glad you do. You ought to. John said, give us this day our daily bread. You've got whatever you've got in the pantry. You may have more than enough for today. You may have enough for a week or a month or longer than that. But I'm going to tell you, you've got it because God gave it to you. And just as quick as you fill that pantry, I'm going to tell you, it can be gone just like that. God gives and God takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me ask you tonight, are you sick and tired of praying and nothing happening? Are you tired of praying and your prayers bouncing off the ceilings, feeling like they're not going anywhere? Do you want more out of your prayer life? Do you want more satisfaction out of your prayer life? Do you want to be satisfied when you pray? You want more enjoyment. I believe that's the reason that so few people are really praying is because they don't enjoy praying. It ought to be an exciting time. Hey, I'm going to tell you, Elijah, when he prayed and he shut up the windows of heaven, and then 3.5 years later he prayed again, opened up the windows of heaven, and he prayed and fire came down and devoured the sacrifice. I'm going to tell you, God does exciting things through prayer.
Amen.
It's enjoyable when we see God at work. Do you want more excitement, more enthusiasm, more joy, more fun, more gladness? Do you want just simply more answers to your prayers? Some of you will remember this right here. Brother Sammy. I've had that for years and years and years. He said, what prayer will do? It'll open up the windows of heaven. It'll bar the gates of hell. It'll shut the mouth of gainsayers. It'll loose the chains of sin. It'll bind the forces of evil. It'll supply every need. And it'll open up doors of opportunity. That's a message right there. Amen? That's exactly what prayer will do. Do you realize tonight no Christian is greater than their prayer life? You realize here's something else somebody said. People that are not praying, I think it was Leonard Ravenhill that said this, but people that are not praying are playing. Pray hardest when it's hardest to pray. There's no way to learn to pray except to pray. You know, that was the desire of the disciples when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And of course, you got Brother John's message. That's how the Lord taught him to pray.
Amen.
Heard a man say one time, preacher said this back years ago. He said, if we prayed the Lord's Prayer the way it was intended, he said, we'd spend 8 hours a day in prayer. Just realize how much more of an amazing life that we could have and see the God at work in our lives, in our churches, in our country, in our families, and all of that, if we spent more time in prayer. If we spent as much time, and I think I reached in my pocket. You know what I was reaching for, don't you? I thought I had my cell phone in there. But I'm glad I left it out there in the car. If we spent as much time as we did praying as we did on that cell phone, I'm going to tell you, it'd be amazing what we'd see God do. If we spend as much time praying as we did in front of the television set, watching sports or doing whatever, I'm not saying that we can't enjoy life. God's given us all things richly to enjoy. But I'm saying if you want more out of your prayer life, you got to put more into it. And you got to pray. The man who kneels to God can stand up and face anything. Prayerlessness means powerlessness. No church can have an effective mission program that does not have an effective prayer program. A praying pew makes for a powerful pulpit. You ever think about, boy, I wish that preacher had more power in his preaching Well, what about you praying? You know, the disciples never asked the Lord Jesus to teach them how to preach. Do you realize that? They said, Lord, increase our faith. And Lord, teach us to pray. But they never did say, Lord, teach us how to preach.
Right.
Man that's got faith and a man that can pray, I'm going to tell you, God will make a preacher out of him. There ain't no question about that. Brother John was talking about Spurgeon a little while ago. But it was asked on him of why his preaching was so powerful. And the reason being was supposedly, the story says, is that down below his pulpit, in the great tabernacle there, was a furnace room or a closet. And he said every time that he stood in that pulpit to preach, he said there was a group of people down below it praying for him. Pray for you, preacher. Amen? Prayers that cost you nothing are worth nothing. Satan knows the power of prayer. My question tonight is, do you? How to get more out of your prayer life? Our text lays it out. Verse number 16 says, confess your faults one to another. What I mean by that, I mean be transparent with others. Be transparent with others. Confess your faults. What does that mean? Your shortcomings, your sin, your difficulty, the strongholds that have power in your life. Do you realize that there used to be a time in the life of the church, and I remember, and these men right here tonight remember, somebody would come forward, there'd be a lady that'd make her way forward, and there'd be dozens of other ladies that would come down, and they'd gather around. Brother Dale and I was at a meeting back years ago that the evangelist never got to preach. Because there'd be a lady that hit the altar, and there'd be a dozen ladies that they're praying with her, and a man would hit the altar over here, and there'd be a dozen men that'd gather around here, and then there'd be a child that'd come to the altar, and there'd be some people that'd gather around that child, and they were praying. What were they doing? They were confessing their faults. You got any strongholds in your life tonight? You got any problems with sin tonight? But Tim talked about some of those bad habits. Drinking, smoking, cursing, profanity, pornography. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. You say, well, I don't want everybody to know about it. You know why? You know what has happened? You know what's happened to the church? You know the reason that we're not transparent in our praying? You know the reason being that we don't confess our faults one to another? I ought to be able to tell Brother Roger, I'm having a struggle with doubt. I'm dealing with doubt right now. I ought to be able to tell him that and him pray for me and know that he's going to pray for me without going out and telling everybody else about it. That's the reason that we don't do this anymore, that we don't confess our fault to one another anymore, is because we're afraid of the backbiting and tail bearing and gossip that goes on of what's going on around us. We wonder why our prayer lives are so impotent. No power in them. Be transparent. Confess your faults one to another. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. How do we restore them? We restore them through prayer. Brother, let's get down here and let's pray about it. Let's put it into the hands of God and let God do something about it. Alcohol got a hold of your life. Let's pray about it. Let's turn it over to God and see God do something about it. I'm praying with you, brother, about it. That's how we get more out of our prayer life. Be transparent. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 18, gives the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. There was one that was very transparent and another one that was very hypocritical. The Bible says that the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. It kind of sounds a lot like we do a lot of times. Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men are, unjust. Or even like this old publican here, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. God, look at me. I'm a pretty good catch. That's the way we feel a lot of times when we pray. God, I don't need your help. But this old fellow over here really needs your help. That's the way we feel a lot of times. But the one that was truly transparent was the old publican. So the Bible said that he could not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you realize tonight you'll never get saved until you realize that you're a sinner? And realize that you'll never get saved. Transparency is the first step to getting more out of our prayer lives. Confess your faults one to another. Then he says, and pray. Want more out of your prayer life? Pray more. Spend more time praying. Jeremiah 33:3. The Lord says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Psalm 55:17, he said, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 reminds us that we are to pray without ceasing. In James 4, the Bible reminds us that we have not because we ask not. Pray. Thirdly, be effectual in your praying. Be effectual in your praying and in your prayer life. The word effectual means to bring it to pass, to achieve, to accomplish, or fulfill, to pray with purpose and desire. To pray with purpose and desire. Pray specifically. We like to pray in general. Why? Because it speeds things up. Now, our church, we support about 29, 30 something missionaries, different missionaries. I pray for every one of those missionaries every day. I don't just say, Lord, bless the missionaries on the foreign field or on the field. I call those missionaries out by name. Specific. We've got to be, if we want more of our prayer life, we've got to learn to pray and be specific when we pray. Be effectual. Have a purpose and a desire. You know what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans 10? He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. Paul was praying with purpose and desire in his heart. That's the way we've got to learn. Do you realize that we used to have a burden? You don't hear that word a whole lot anymore now. We used to have a burden. I remember meetings right here. I remember meetings in my church when they'd come to the altar and there'd be people praying for lost souls. I got a lost mom. I got a lost dad. I've got a lost son. I've got a lost daughter. I've got a loved one, a friend, a co-worker that needs to be saved. And there'd be tears all over the altar. Yes. And prayers being offered up. We need to be effectual in our prayer lives. We need to be specific. You know, I know several women over the years. I worked with a man. He told me, he gave his salvation experience, and he said, my wife prayed for me every day for 8 years, every day. She had his picture, and she put it in her Bible. And every day when she opened up her Bible, she'd pray for her husband every day for 8 years. 8 years she prayed And you know what? He walked the aisle in his church one night and got saved. 8 years. 8 years. And I can tell you story after story after story about people just like that. You may be one of those. I'll tell you how important it is to be specific with them. Now, I've got a lot of Bibles, but there was a day and time in my young ministry, I didn't have a whole lot of money. We, me and my wife and family, we got by. We didn't do without. God promised us we'd never do without. And we didn't. We just didn't have a whole lot of leftovers. And we really learned to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Because there was a few times we just didn't know where it was going to come from. But I'm going to tell you, I was a young preacher and I wanted a new Bible. My pastor at the time, he had an old Scofield Reference Bible. And it was black Morocco leather. It was a pretty expensive Bible back in the day. And I got to praying. And I said, Lord, I'd like to have a Bible like that. I'd like to have a real nice old Scofield Bible, and I'd like for it to be Morocco leather. And I happened to be working over in East Gadsden one day. Some of you may remember the old International Harvester building over there. And that Doyle's Motel. I don't even know. I don't think it's there anymore. But it's right there by B&C Tire Company. Used to be right there. And I had to do a little bit of work in this old tractor shop there. And I was walking through there. And as I was walking toward the back of it, they had all kind of boxes and everything up there. And I happened to notice over here that there was two boxes, and it looked like Bible boxes. And I'm going to tell you, I'd been praying for several weeks, a month. You know, God, give me the money so I'll be able to buy one of those Bibles like I want. Old Scofield with Morocco leather on it. So anyway, I looked over there and I thought, man, that looks like a Bible box. And I walked over there and I said, sure enough. I opened up the first. I mean, it was the boxes were all, they were eat up. They were wet to begin with. The cardboard was wet and it was moldy. But I opened up the first one and the Bible that was inside, you couldn't see it. It was all eat up with mold and soaking wet. Just the Bible was destroyed. The next one, I looked and I opened it up. And when I did, this Bible was still in the plastic. It was still in the plastic. I wiped the mold off of it. I tore the plastic open, and guess what kind of Bible it was? It was an old Scofield Bible, Morocco leather. The only problem in my praying, I wasn't as specific as I should have been, because it was blood red. And do you know, that Bible sits on my kitchen table. Amen. And that's the Bible I still read every day. Amen. God gave me. You know how it came about? Prayer. Learn to be specific. Be effectual in your praying. Be fervent in your praying. The word fervent means to boil over or to be hot or to be on fire. It gives the picture of intensity, zealousness, and sincerity. Just like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Bible said that He agonized. And His sweat became as it were great drops falling to the ground. It was like when Hannah prayed for a man-child and God gave her that child. She prayed and wept. It was like King Hezekiah prayed in Isaiah chapter 38 when Isaiah had told him, get your house in order because you're going to die, not live. And the Bible said that he prayed and wept sore. And God saw those tears. And God heard those prayers. It's like George Whitefield that prayed, give me souls or take my soul. That's fervency. We want more out of our prayer life. We've got to get serious about it. And we've got to be persistent in our prayer lives. And that's the reason that we don't see a lot of evidence a lot of times. We don't see a lot of answers a lot of times. I know you've heard this. You pastors, you preachers have probably heard this before, but do you realize that there's three ways that God answers prayer? Yes, no, and wait. Yeah. And sometimes we just have to wait. Sometimes it's a definite no, just like Paul when he prayed that God would remove the thorn in the flesh.
Right.
The Lord said no. You don't have to deal with it, but my grace is sufficient. Got to be persistent. Don't quit. Don't give up. Why? Just like Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 when he said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know what he was saying? He said, you got to be persistent. If you ask and you don't get it, just keep asking. If you're seeking and you hadn't found it yet, just keep looking. If it hadn't been opened up yet, just keep knocking. Just like the story there in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, the story of the unjust judge and the widow. Why did the judge give her petition? Because of her continual asking.
Amen.
Just keep asking till God gives you an answer. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged.
Amen.
Just keep praying. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Another way to get more out of your prayer life is to live right and do right. It said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of what kind of man? A righteous man. A righteous man availeth much or profits a lot, does a lot of good. Folks, if you're not living right, don't expect your prayer life to be what God wants it to be. Psalms 84:11, God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that what? Walk uprightly. Proverbs chapter 15, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but the prayer of what? The prayer of the upright is His delight. Psalms 34, verse 15 and 17. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cries. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of all their trouble. Psalms 37, 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. The Bible said He'll give you the desires of your heart. John chapter 15, verse 7. This is the Psalms 37, verse 4 of the New Testament. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. Realize this, it's not a name it, claim it thing. Like the charismatic crowd, they'll say name it and claim it. No, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more to that. What is involved in it? We've got to pray believing. The reason many prayers are never heard, never answered is because the people that are praying don't believe that it will happen. That's why we get discouraged in our prayer lives. That's why our prayer lives fall by the wayside. That's why we don't spend more time in prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and what? Without doubting. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believing that ye receive them, and ye shall what? Have them. James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. How does he do that? Through prayer. But he says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. He goes on to say, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Got to pray believing. And as I said earlier, Dwight L. Moody said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. You think about the prayers of George Mueller. You know, I've read stories of George Mueller over the years when in those orphanages, they would not have one morsel of bread or food anywhere. And George Mueller would say, let's sit down and pray, and we'll thank God for the food. But we don't have any food. We're going to thank God for the food. And do you realize before he finished praying, there'd be a knock at the door? And there'd be boxes of food enough to feed all the orphanage. We've got to pray believing. We've got to learn to pray in the name of Jesus. John chapter 14 reminds us that of praying in that name. And it's not just repeating the name of Jesus like the Christian world today or religion enjoys doing. They think if they sing a song and use Jesus' name, that it's a Christian song. Or if they write an article and it's got Jesus' name in it, that it's a Christian article. And they think just because I mention Jesus' name in my prayer that he's obligated to do what I want him to do. But when we pray, we've got to realize that there's power in the name of Jesus. You remember in Acts chapter 3, the man that was lame there that laid at the gate of the temple every day, asking alms. Peter and John went in, and of course this man asked an alms of them. You remember the response that Peter gave him? He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you in what? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately the Bible said that he leaped to his feet. There's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the power behind our prayers. We have his promise behind our prayers. We have his omnipotence behind our prayer. We have his omnipresence behind our prayer. His omniscience behind our prayer. His omnibenevolence behind our prayer. His immutability behind our prayers. And his spirit behind our prayers. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. You want more out of your prayer life? Pray in the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, 14, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, he said, Father, it's not my will, but thy will be done. You know what? That's difficult to pray sometimes. When you've got a baby that's been diagnosed with cancer and it don't look like that baby's going to live, or you've got a spouse that's been diagnosed with incurable disease, that's difficult to pray. God, not my will, but yours be done. If we want more of our prayer life, we've got to put it in God's hands.
Amen.
Because God knows. God knows. God knows. I remember a woman back years ago. Her son got hit. He was on a little motorcycle and a cement truck backed over him. And I remember her telling the story, and she says, you know, she said, I wanted to pray and ask God to spare his life. But she said, I had to pray that God's will would be done. She said, he had never made a profession of faith. He was just a little boy. And she said, you know, I don't know if he's going to grow up and maybe reject God and never be saved. She says, I'd rather God take him now than I had for him to grow up and never be saved. And she said, God, not my will, but your will be done. Your brother John said we need to pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Last of all, you want more out of your prayer life? You've got to know what hinders it. What hinders your prayer life? Devil's going to do everything that he can to hinder your prayer life because he knows there's power in prayer. He's going to use indifference. He's going to use ignorance. He's going to use things to interfere, and sin will always interfere. Brother John quoted this, Psalm 66, 18. The Bible said that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayers. The Lord's hand is not short, in Isaiah 59. The Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But what is it? It's our sins, our iniquities that have hid his face from us, that he will not hear our prayers. Yeah. Think about those, and he talked about poor relationships. How's your relationship with God tonight? How's your relationship with your fellow man? Do you realize the relationship that you have with God will affect your prayer life? Do you realize the relationship that you have with your fellow man, your neighbor, anybody? Do you realize that will affect your prayer life? Do you know tonight if your relationship with your spouse is not what it ought to be, do you know that'll affect your prayer life? It's sad to say, and I'm going to tell you, the devil knows church night or church day, whatever it is. There's so many couples, they get in the car and they're arguing and fighting the whole way to church. And then they get to church and they put on the glory face. And then the preacher calls on the man to pray. Uh-oh. And then the lady goes in and teaches Sunday school class to the children. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto thy wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers," what? "Be not hindered." If you want more out of your prayer life, I ain't got a book. I didn't write a book. God wrote the book. And this is how you get more out of your prayer life. We talked about hymns. What a friend we have in Jesus. That first stanza says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I don't know about you. I want everything out of my prayer life that God will give. And this is how he told us to get it. Amen? Now, your prayer scale tonight, it may have been a one or a two. It may have been a four or five. But I'm going to tell you, it can leave here tonight up here where it ought to be. You know where it's going to start? Right down here on our knees. If you lost, that's where it's going to start. Right. On your knees, confessing your sin. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Romans 10:13, "But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead," the Bible said, "thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," the Bible said, "thou shalt be saved." You need to be saved tonight? Let the Lord do it. Come to him and let him save you tonight. Brother Roger?